Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. We've sung some wonderful songs of hope and focus on the Lord, because if it focuses on me, we're going to have a problem. But the focus is always on Him, isn't it? I just thank God for His faithfulness, His mercy. I've had some thoughts that I'm just trusting the Lord to organize, but they are in ways, important ways, I believe, related to things that the Lord has spoken to us lately. I know we all would profess to believe the Lord wants to take us further and deeper, to grow in Him, to have more of His presence when we gather, to have more of His presence in our lives every single day, to see His hand operating in the church and changing lives. Anybody want that? Yeah, I believe many of us would certainly want that and profess to want it. But there's one element that just seems to have jumped out at me in the last few days, and I can't quite get away from it, so we'll just start out and see what the Lord says. You know, it was two or three weeks ago or so, we had a message titled A Tale of Two Churches. And basically it was showing what the church was like after Pentecost, but then also what the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 was like, and how easy it is to slide from one to the other. And I guess the question was, we need to look in the mirror and say, where are we on that scale? And just ask God to make Himself real so that we can really be the church and not simply a form of it. Because it's awfully easy to settle into a form and a tradition and feel like because we're doing all the outward things that we've got what it takes. There's more to it than that, isn't there? But there's one thing that I noticed in these letters. Now, number one, there are seven different letters to the churches. Seven different churches the Lord addressed, and every one of them had a particular need. It wasn't the same for everyone. It wasn't like, here's the handbook, go to it. It was every church was in a particular situation, a particular place in their journey, and they needed something from the Lord. And so the Lord sent them a very specific message. And in some cases, it was, there was a message of warning. You know, you've got the outward form, but you've lost your first love, or like it was in Laodicea, I think it had even gotten beyond that. And so there was a real danger that they were going to lose their testimony altogether, because if the Lord is not present and acting, what do we have except another form of religion? And God help us, we've said that so many times, that's not what we want. I don't want it. And I believe there's a good company of people here who would agree with me on that. So anyway, the Lord was warning that was the case. And it's interesting that while these churches were seemingly doing the right things, yet they were in a place of need. Didn't even realize they were in a place of need. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? That we can get to a place where there is a great need from God's point of view, and we're just waltzing along thinking everything's okay. And of course, you had churches like, the second church, I'm not going to go through all the details, but the Lord had a special word for them. It was a word of instruction. Something is coming. You need to be ready. Boy, I'm trusting the Lord, because aren't we in that time in history? We are in a time, as we said so many times, where life is relatively easy here compared to what it is in the rest of the world. And what happens if that changes? Are we really ready? Well, the Lord wanted to get this church ready for that and speak to them a word of encouragement. It wasn't, hey, you're messing up, straighten up. It wasn't any of that. But it was, this is coming, and I have great promises for you. You look to me, you trust me. You stand fast, and there's great reward at the end of the way. Well, then you had a couple of churches in particular where there were some people there that were doing okay, but they were tolerating false teachers. who were compromising the gospel in one form or another, without going into the details, they were basically saying, hey, it's okay to sin because it's all taken care of, or some form of that, where they were justifying living according to the desires of the flesh, and just, this is coming right out of the scriptures, folks. Here's a prophet saying these things. You can believe it. But it wasn't from the Lord. And so there was a need for them to wake up and say, wait a minute, you're believing a prophet. Somebody calls himself a prophet, or a prophetess in one case, yet her message is not from me. You better wake up and recognize this and deal with it, or else you're going to be in a bad place. And for those of you who aren't following her teachings, hang on, you know, just keep doing what's right. And of course, you had the Church of Philadelphia, where there was one church, wasn't it, where you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Boy, that's a sad thing. I wonder how many churches in the world today the Lord would have to say that. Now it's quiet. Yeah, you got a reputation that you're alive, but you're actually dead. Wouldn't it be nice? There was a line in the song that we just sang about seeing everything through His eyes. Now, there's something in our human nature that we still have a measure of in these bodies, too much of a measure. The thought is uncomfortable, that I could actually see myself through His eyes. But don't we need to do that? Do we need to live with an illusion, or do we need to live with reality? And so the Lord was saying, hey, wake up. You're in a bad place there. And of course, you had the Philadelphia church that was, they weren't very strong. They weren't a big, mighty church doing great things, but they were hanging on and doing what was right, and they were looking to God, and the Lord was encouraging them, keep doing it. I've given you an open door. Oh, I praise, wouldn't that be nice if the Lord said to us, hey, I've given you an open door. I want to be in a place where He could say that, instead of just, all right, we got through another service, we're good, let's go back to life. That's not what it's about. God has called us out of this world to be a kingdom company in the midst of a dark world. And there's only His leadership that can produce that, only His life in us that can possibly produce anything that has any spiritual value. So anyway, at the end of each of these letters, there is a promise to those who listen. But the basic word that is repeated time and time again is, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now that immediately implies there are people who don't even have ears. They're not spiritually alive or awake. But folks, just having a spiritual ability, having Christ birthing His life in us and bringing us to life, does not instantly convert us into something that can just is totally in tune with Him and His kingdom. There is a part that we are meant to play. You could have divine life, you could have salvation and be walking in a sense with the Lord, sealed by His Spirit, and still be kind of carelessly muddling along through life. And I just felt like the Lord convicting me about a greater need to have ears, not just to have ears, but to actually use them. Wouldn't that be amazing? How many of you realize that the one who created the universe not only knows you, knows your name, we said these things many times, but actually wants to talk to you? What an amazing concept. The one who made the stars and just flung them out over unimaginable distances, the one who knows every hair on your head, but actually wants us to have such a relationship where He could actually talk to us. He hasn't delivered this book. Thank God for the book. He hasn't delivered this as a rule book that we just study and say, okay, I'm going to fashion my religion after things that it says in here and everything will be great. It has got to be personal. We have got to be in a place where in our journey, we go through many kinds of circumstances, many places, many seasons, Because these seven churches, their circumstances were all different. They were in the same region of the world, and yet every one of them was in a certain place of need in their journey, and the Lord wanted them to have a specific message for that occasion. How many of you believe that when we come in here on Sunday, the Lord actually has something He wants to say to us? It's more than just unpacking the words in this book, although God's going to use this book, obviously. But we need to hear something that is relevant to where we're at right then. Needs that exist in us, things He wants to say to us. I wonder how tuned in we are. You know, you see this pattern all the way through Scripture. What did Jesus say through Moses in Deuteronomy 8? I'm not going to even turn there, but you remember how the Lord said, remember. Well, I will turn there, okay? I forgot I did put a marker in that particular spot. But remember, verse 2, how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Obviously, Moses was talking to the children of Israel. And the purpose was to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. So there they were being worked. God was putting them to the test, trying to teach them His ways, not their ways. That was the problem. They were full of their ways, their ideas, all earthly based, all centered in human nature. And here's God trying to separate a people who actually would learn how to walk with Him and be His people in the middle of this crazy world. So why would He do? In fact, why would He put them in a place of need? Thank God He does that. Because how else would we would have a reason even to reach out to Him and feel that there was a need? If everything went great, we'd forget about Him in practice. We'd say the words and just go on and do our thing and praise God, everything's wonderful. And it isn't. So anyway, so why did the Lord do all this? He said He did all this to teach you. Anybody here need to be taught? Yeah, starting with me, I need to be taught. There is so much I think I know I don't. And even if I know stuff that the Lord has taught me to this point in my life, I'm not there yet. I mean, if Paul wasn't there yet, I'm sure not. So there are things that I need Him to communicate with me that I can't just go and, oh, I got a problem, let me figure it out. I need to ask Him. Now, He might direct me to something in there, but it's got to be personal to where I'm at, what my need is, where I'm at on my journey. And so the Lord wanted to teach them something. What is that lesson that He wanted to teach them? Man does not live on bread alone. But on what? Every word. That comes from the mouth of God.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.